Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour. Darren, Donnick, and Chase. David Poyle coming up in about 15 minutes or less. Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay. Big deal. I don't believe he was ever going anywhere else. He certainly wasn't coming here. It seems like the report's saying possibly retirement. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Look, if you're retiring, then what? Yet we always heard reports he wanted to be the highest paid player. Like, are you really considering retirement? If there's, you're obviously talking to somebody that's putting out there that you want to be the highest paid player. Are you really thinking about retirement when you know you can make $200 million or $152 million guaranteed?
But if you're him, you could retire
it's
and make that.
It's leverage.
It's leverage. It's, yeah. It's just
you throw that out there to get everybody, you know, freaking out. And I get it. It's leverage. And that's, I'm okay with people who, it's fine.
Right.
So I think he was using his platform and his abilities and throw out the retirement word and everybody freaks out and be like, oh no, we'll pay you whatever. And that's, I don't believe he was. I think he had to. He had to have that out there. If he is as close with Hackett, Nathaniel Hackett, as everybody's making it out to be, I think it's good PR to have it out there that you were considering Denver, because you want to throw a bone his way and be like, yeah, you know, like our relationship is legit. But in the end, if you're asking me what I really believe, what I've said on this show, been pretty consistent since everything has ended for Green Bay, seasons came to an end.
Right.
Going back to Green Bay.
Right.
And I think that's, unless Green Bay just said, you know what, you know, we're just tired of everything. You know, we've got Jordan Love sitting here. We'll just figure out a trade, which we all knew they weren't going to do that. By the way, they know what they have in Jordan Love. It's they would all get fired. I've been saying this. Good luck with that. Send him out there and then you start updating your resume.
Right.
Because you're all going to get fired. Because guess what? This train that's been rolling down the tracks for a long time in Green Bay is about to come to an end. You're not going to the playoffs with Jordan Love. So they knew that. Of course they weren't going to do that. So
I'm curious what this means for Jordan Love. I mean, we've seen the small sample size, and it's not good. But do they try and get something for him?
I think they do. I think that's probably good. I just don't know what in the world could you get.
There's going to be a desperate team. I mean, you think about
who?
Yeah, they're
who's at the point of what they have is not good enough to acquire Jordan Love?
Okay, let's go through it. Houston's the interesting situation because they have a guy, they have a franchise quarterback that doesn't want to be there and has legal stuff, and now they don't want him. So that they're out. You push them aside because they're weird. Jacksonville's got one. Indy is apparently going to be looking for one because they're going to move on from Carson Wentz. But I would take them out because they're a quarterback away from being, you know, a competitive team. So I take the AFC South out. Miami, no. New England, no. Jets, no. Buffalo, no. If you go out west, the only team that keeps popping in my head is Washington. But they've also tried that before. So are they, you know, but is there a team like, let's say Washington misses out on, you know, some of these other quarterbacks that can move around. Are they going to be the ones? Could Pittsburgh decide, hey, let's gamble, let's take a step back, let's bring in a young guy?
I mean, maybe. I just don't see. I don't see if they're, what market he's. I mean, that one game, I get it, Kansas City in Kansas City, but they can do anything on offense, nothing.
Well, and let me ask you this too. Now, Rodgers has become, like, Rodgers became elite, okay? But he did sit on the bench for 3 years behind Brett Favre. We know it's well documented. You know, Brett's not over there coaching him up and showing him what to do. So how much of it was on Rodgers to just – to be a sponge and to learn and to do the work himself? I would say he did. How much has Jordan Love been doing that?
It's not about, I mean, to me, it's just simply put, it's the abilities. The reason they were willing to move on from Brett Favre and the reason that situation got ugly and weird is because they knew what they had. At that point, they knew what they had in Aaron Rodgers. If they knew they had something in Jordan Love, they would be doing the same exact thing. The same exact
thing. And now they know they don't.
And they know they don't.
But how many other teams believe that?
If they thought Jordan Love was the next Aaron Rodgers, was the next Brett Favre, guess what? Guess where Aaron Rodgers would be? In Denver.
Denver.
That's where he would be. But they know they don't have that.
Yeah.
That's the difference. Green Bay knew they had something in Aaron Rodgers. They knew it. And that's why they were willing to move on for Brett Favre.
Right.
They're telling us they know they don't have a first-round pick in Jordan Love. And they don't have the next guy. The guy. Let's go up to Portland. Adam is on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What's up?
I just think it sucks, man. Not that we didn't get him, but it's Matthew Stafford's fault. Because he makes everybody think if you just swap a quarterback, you can go win the Super Bowl. And it just doesn't happen like that. So I like Tannehill, and I'm not happy with how he played, but I feel like you should continue to build around him. He got you a long way, and I don't necessarily agree with Chase that he got us as far as he could get us, and I always agree with Chase. I don't think he's gotten us as far as he could get us. I think it was like so crazy that we were as successful as we were last year with everything that happened to that team. Now let's just imagine that team's healthy and everybody's healthy around him, how far they could go. So I hated chasing him to begin with, man.
Well, you're going to get what you want. I mean, he's going to have every opportunity. In fact, I was just reading Ron on our text line, driven by Wilson
that,
County.
I saw that too.
Hyundai.com. Just a question. Do you think that since there's no quarterback opportunities out there and Woodside is the backup to Tannehill, he can now be comfortable in his spot? He's been comfortable. Like, Ryan Tannehill has had no threat ever since he's been here. So
what I think he said, is he too comfortable?
Oh, is he saying, too comfortable?
Would he be too comfortable in a spot?
That Tannehill is now, that does change it.
Too comfortable.
Okay.
I think that's an interesting question.
That is an interesting question. Just like when Mariota was here and I was beating on the backup quarterback drum loud and loud and over and over and over again, so much that it made people mad. But I said, well, I don't care because Blaine Gabbert sucks. Okay, he's just not very good. I'm sorry, but he's not very good, and you've got to get better. And so they did. They went out and acquired Ryan Tannehill to have a capable backup for Mariota, who, by the way, was also injury-prone. But I think that's an interesting question. But, I mean, I don't know.
Does
pushing him, like, who are you going to get out there that's going to push him? Are you talking about Jameis Winston?
Jameis is going to be a starter, I think.
You think?
Yeah, and I think he probably stays in New Orleans.
Okay, so who's the backup that gets Ryan Tannehill uncomfortable?
Well, here's who – I just pulled up a list.
Okay.
These are the quarterbacks available, and let's take, Deshaun Watson aside, Jimmy G, who's going to be a trade, even though we believe he'll be available. Wentz will be available. Okay, let's say they cut Wentz, and Wentz is free and clear. Wentz is a backup. Wentz is not going to push anybody. So I wouldn't worry about him. Teddy Bridgewater, no. He's not pushing him. Andy Dalton, no. Ryan Fitzpatrick, no. Cam Newton,
no.
Jameis, no. Maybe. But I think he stays in New Orleans. Tyrod Taylor, no. Jacoby Brissett, no.
No.
Marcus Mariota, been there?
Yeah.
No?
No, the answer to that.
Flacco? Hell no.
The fact that he's still in the league is...
Mitch Trubisky? Hell no. Tim Boyle? I don't even know who that is.
Mitch Trubisky, I don't know about hell no for Mitch Trubisky. That's probably the most realistic one.
No. To push him?
You don't know.
No, I do know.
Sitting there for 2 years behind Josh Allen. Maybe
he's been sitting there for 1 year behind Josh Allen.
Was it just this past year?
Yeah.
Yep.
He's not very good.
Okay.
I'm
not in the same camp as you. I think Trubisky would right now. That would be the one that I would pick. If you were trying to do what Ron is saying.
No, like there's not a great.
No,
there's not. There's not a great like Mariota Tannehill situation out there. For if that's what you're looking for, I don't see it. Because most of these guys outside of Jameis, if Jameis was the one, then okay, maybe. But I don't believe Jameis is going to be. I think he stays in New Orleans.
If I had to answer it, I would say Trubisky would be mine. If you're saying that's Winston is going to be a starter and is not in the equation, then I would, because Winston would be my answer.
Yeah.
If no on Winston, he's going back to New Orleans, he's going to be the starter, then I would say Trubisky.
Interesting.
All right, we'll come back. We will talk with Predators GM David Poyle. We do that next here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is a game day. We're live here at the Patron Platinum Club. Predators and Stars tonight at 7 o'clock. That'll be the puck drop. I'll have a pregame for you at 6. This is our game day broadcast brought to you by Hermitage Design Center, the professional source for lighting, hardware, appliance, custom kitchens and baths. Go to their website, gohermitage.com. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Chase McCabe with you. Predators General Manager David Poyle now joins the mix. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, guys. Really excited about tonight, this week. This is what it's all about. This is all. These games are the classic four-point games all week long with tonight against Dallas, Anaheim, St. Louis, and then Minnesota. So going to find a lot out about our team individually and collectively, and really looking forward to what happens starting tonight.
No doubt about it. We had Michael McCarron on yesterday, the birthday boy. Quite a performance he had and his line had in San Jose on Saturday. I want to go back to just when you acquired him and what the discussion pieces were, what you really envisioned him being here. Obviously a big-bodied guy, but overall, like, and he was a high draft pick in Montreal. So take us through that acquisition and then how it's played out to this point.
Well, go to the end as far as how it's played out has been terrific. Basically at that point, with all due respect, you're trading one player that's not working out too well in our organization for a player that's not working out in another organization in Montreal. And obviously, being a first-round draft pick, the expectations and the pressure that, and challenges that comes with that are very high. And for whatever reason, it was not working out for Michael with Montreal. He'd get the odd chance here and there, but it just didn't seem like it was ever going to work. And I think that's the way they felt at the end of the day. And that's why they were ready to move on. I think we kind of recast him in a role that we thought suited his size and his abilities, and try to keep him in that role most of the time in Milwaukee. It took a long time there because he only played a few games up here last year in the season that was where we had a taxi squad, and we carried him virtually all year. So he got that NHL experience. He got to be around the guys. He's a great personality. He's a great team guy. He'll do anything for anybody. He'll play hard. And as we saw on the road trip where he broke his nose, and so that was the game before, and he comes back and plays and has the best game he's ever had in the National Hockey League with 2 goals and 2 assists. So I think it's a combination of the getting past that first-round pick, getting put into a role where you can have some success, and the expectations are where set for you are accurate and not something that are unrealistic. And all in all, it's just been a really good fit so far. So a little bit fortunate that we saw something in Michael that maybe somebody else didn't see and gave him that second chance, if you will.
Is it something kind of like what happened with Austin Watson, another one that was a first-round pick and kind of had to redefine his role to be able to play on an everyday basis in the NHL. Is that maybe what you guys were talking about? In that case, I get it. Austin was your guy. This is a guy that you had to talk about that was somewhere else that, hey, if we bring him here, maybe that would change here. Is that kind of along the lines of what you're talking about or no?
Yeah, I think exactly. That's a perfect comparison. Let's face it, when you get tagged with a first-round pick, I mean, you're probably thinking as a forward, offense, goals, playing on the top two lines, and that was not the case or the fit for Austin, or is it for McCarron? So I think you hit the nail on the head there where Austin played well for us in a third or fourth line position, and now he's playing very well for Ottawa in a role that really fits his abilities.
Matt Duchene, you signed him to the deal here to be a centerman. He is now having production out on the wing. He's having quite the year, 27 goals now, 4 goals in the last 2 games. What do you make of him playing on the wing, David, and everything that we've talked about since coming here and putting in this type of season?
Well, I think it starts with, Duchene is and has been a good player for most of his career. I think there was a little bit of the down year last year, and I don't know, you can say it's adjustment, you can say he's trying to fit in or what have you, and he thought he was a bit unlucky. It doesn't really matter. I mean, this year, right from day one of training camp, he was ready to go. His belief was high, and I don't think he was too concerned whether he played center or wing. We felt with our need and what he could do that would suit us better. And you never know if that might change somewhere down the road, but right now he's in the right place. I think he's the most comfortable, obviously, he's been since we've signed him here in Nashville, and you can see on display on a nightly basis what he creates and the goal scoring. I love the fact that he's got that many goals and he's shooting the puck. I often felt last year a lot of times, and even this year to a certain extent, that he overpasses. He must be a great guy to play with for people like Phil Forsberg or Gramlin and now Joey, because he's a real unselfish player that he's always looks like he's looking for his wingers and the teammates all the time. But I love it when he's a bit more selfish because he's got a great shot. The goal he scored, one of the goals he scored in San Jose was unbelievable on the breakaway. So I think this is, we're back to the, I want to say the more normal here for Duchene in terms of what he can do. And I think he's certainly living up to all of our expectations this year.
That's interesting that you said he didn't care where he played, because I thought he had made the remark once that he thought he was a center. And so my follow-up was going to be, so you didn't have to talk him in? You guys didn't have to talk him into why you thought this role would serve him better? So did I? I thought I remember him saying that. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're correct. We signed him as a center, and I think his preferred position, if you got it right down deep, and if you had a conversation with today, I'm sure he would say that it would be a center. But I think the maturity in Matt and understanding what we need and what's going to put him in a position to be most successful, what's going to make our team most successful, right now that's the wing. That's why I sort of put an asterisk that maybe that would change someday. But again, it's all about a team game, and I think Matt is really showing what it takes to be a good team player, and that's one, moving position, and two, doing playing the way our coach wants the game to be played. So I think we're talking about Matt right now, but I think there were some adjustments from other players on just where they fit in, what their role would be, and so what we've created here with our new coaching staff is a identity that we're all very happy with, and for the most part, we're making progress and showing some success. I think again, as I said at the opening here, we're in a playoff battle, and this is going to be a fantastic week. And I'm just thrilled that we're in this position. I think there's a lot of people that didn't think that we would be in that position, but it's because of players like Duchene's 27 goals or Forsberg's 27 goals, and some of the younger players that are making contributions like McCarron with 4 points, or Tomasino with 3 assists, plus 5 rating. that's why, you know, I think things are looking bright for the Predators as we move along.
We're speaking with David Poile. Is there anything on the Nick Cousins or Mark Borowiecki front you could tell us?
I think they're both both close. I think Morrow is probably not going to play tonight, but he shouldn't be too far off. And I think Cousins has a good chance of playing tonight. Again, there wasn't much of a morning skate. But I do think Cousins is really close, and I wouldn't be overly surprised if he didn't play tonight.
We're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager. And David, good to talk to you. It's been a few weeks. I mean, I thought maybe, me coming back on the show today, you might have some news to pass along about a certain forward, but I'll ask about it anyway. How are things looking with Philip Forsberg as the trade deadline approaches?
Do you guys flip a coin every week? Who has to ask me that question, or do you just automatic guy?
Well, they looked at me and they said, "You've played hooky the last few weeks, so you get to do it." So, you know, I just figured I'd just go for it.
It's nothing new. I mean, we've talked to Philip and his agency. We're going to talk to them again this week. Again, it's business as normal. I'm not trying to trade him. I'm trying to sign him. Just keep at it here. I hope I have some good news to tell you on a show sometime in the next couple of weeks, obviously. Nothing new to share. Sorry about that.
No, it's okay. You've done this a long time, but does it bring the same level of maybe annoyance knowing when you go through these of that you're constantly going to be asked about it?
I have to realize it's an important part of our team, and whether you want to know or fans want to know, I mean, I'd be disappointed if they didn't. And we got a deadline coming up here on March 21st, the trading deadline. So there's a lot of reasons why we should be meeting more and talking more and seeing if we can get something done.
With the deadline approaching, David, how much have you noticed the chatter has started amongst the GMs about possible deals? We've seen a couple here and there, but as it gets closer and you start to get a clearer picture of maybe who's in contention, who's not in contention, how has the chatter been?
I think it's been taken up a little bit in terms of speaking for myself, talking to other teams, and it's kind of what you do at this time of year. I mean, you naturally want to find out what teams are thinking about in case there's something you haven't thought about that might be of interest to you, and vice versa, they want to know who you would move. I'm not sure at this time of how big of a trading deadline it's going to be. I mean, if you look at the standings, it is so close, and So right there, just realistically, say we're playing Dallas tonight. I mean, Dallas is in our division; we're 1 point apart. I mean, that's not a trading partner. I probably could say that for maybe 10 to 15 other teams right now, just because of the closeness of the standing. So, as we say, a lot happens on a daily basis in this business. Wins, losses, injuries, those type of situations. I also believe it's sometimes a little bit like dominoes when a trade gets made, everybody else wants to get into the action, and more things pick up. But right now, I mean, you can tell it's fairly quiet because there's nothing that's happened. And that's not totally different than past years, but my recollection is there's probably been a few more trades this far out, and this year it's been very quiet.
It has indeed.
Oh. Well, I had the wrong one.
Hold on.
No, that's my bad. False start. False start on me.
Sorry about that, David. David Poile is with us. David, just one more quick one. This is a theme I've been asking you about maybe about once a month, just the progress of young Phil Tomasino. And right now he's had a few games here where he has made some plays and obviously had a really nice night against San Jose, but he's been doing it pretty consistently of late. It's got to give you confidence that as he goes down the stretch there, that he is going to be a contributor.
Yeah, his play has been very good, as hate naming, saying it's one, first line, second line, third line, fourth line, but basically he's been playing on the fourth line, which translates into, fewer minutes, no PK, second power play. So I think, as they say, pound for pound, or in this case, you know, minutes per production, he's doing very well. The test, and we've talked about this in the past shows too, is that you're getting into the playoff run, the harder teams, bigger teams, more closer checking, if you will. It'll be really interesting to see how he stands up to this. But again, he's showing that he's certainly a pretty fearless player, and he really has that nose for the net. He can make plays, and we're sticking with him for sure. And just like the way he plays, he comes to the rink every day with a smile on his face and really good attitude. The players really like on our team. And as I said before, I think the upside of Phil playing higher in our lineup is not if, it's just when. And I certainly see him being a top two line player for us as his career moves along.
Big week in store. Saul starts tonight. David, thanks for the visit as always. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, big week. I agree. See you guys tonight. Appreciate it.
No doubt. That is David Poile, Predators general manager. Dallas Stars tonight in the building. Anaheim here Thursday night. St. Louis here Saturday morning, 11:30 start. And then they'll go to Minnesota on Sunday. So this is indeed a huge week that we will discuss on the other side. Appreciate him joining us here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. You're darn tootin', Coach. Tomorrow night, Smashville Live on these airwaves during the 6 o'clock hour. Special guest, plural, Matt Benning, Matt Luff. Check that out. Hosted by Max Herz and Hal Gill. Smashville Live all season long during the 6 o'clock hour. Can also be watched on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. And every week it's brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Good stuff there from David Poile.
Yeah. Listen, we've said it for years. There's always nuggets that he'll give you if you pay attention.
And I'm hungry. I could use some nuggets.
I'm hungry. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great too? A big pile of nuggets came in here? Oof. Some barbecue sauce, honey mustard.
Whew. Where from, though?
I don't care. Chick-fil-A would be cool.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of cool spots down here that could serve up chicken nuggets, you know?
A lot of cool spots in Times Square that did that.
Yeah. So. Did you get your Rolex, by the way?
I did not go get a Folex.
Oh, man.
Did you get my one earbud that I was hoping?
Yeah, Willie did it.
You know what I almost did? Because I walked by this table. This guy had a table full of Apple AirPods. Like,
yeah?
Still in the wrapper. And they look legit. But I'm like, in my head, I'm going, these are, and it said $30. I was like, these are either empty boxes or they're stolen. One of the two.
Well, I don't think he could sell you empty boxes. And so my guess is probably, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Or it's the Apple box and you open and they're like, you know, the giant kind that like are from Walmart or... You know, but I almost was like, just to see, I almost did it, but I'm like, eh. So.
Teach you for putting your stuff in your pockets with holes in them.
It was a tragic story. Like, as soon as he said I put it in my pocket and there's a hole in the pocket, I'm like, oh, no.
I'm still holding out hope that I find it.
Really, it's
in
gone.
My coat somewhere. That's the mystery.
It's
where
gone.
Is it?
You're going to have to let go.
Where
it's
is gone. It? I know. I've already gotten a new pair. I upgraded to the iPods Pro, so that was.
Okay.
I was like, I just got to move on, or else it's going to drive me crazy.
I like the pro.
I am known.
I'm pro.
I'm known in my house as the find it guy.
You're not going to find this one, man.
And I pride myself because my family is the worst at misplacing things. I always try. I've tried to teach them. It hasn't worked yet. Put your stuff here, same place, all these things. But Aaron's always misplacing her phone. Mahoney's the... The wallet turns up different places, but I'm the guy. All right, Dad, we need to find something. I'm on it. So okay. You saw me on the Stadium Series. I come in through the security. I had my AirPods in, took them out, threw them in my pocket instead of putting it back in the case. Cardinal, that's the cardinal sin right there. That's asking
which,
for trouble.
Let me ask you, let me stop you right there.
I was hurried because I wanted to get on with you and Robbie on time.
I understand, but how? but how much longer does it take?
There's a poor decision. It was a terrible decision.
To take them out of your ear.
We're going back through the replay.
15 seconds,
probably? It's a terrible decision. Terrible decision.
You can even walk and do that at the same time.
That's what I was fumbling around. It just was bad. It was a bad decision.
So, like, what are your rates? Like, what do you charge? Like, if you're the find it guy, like, you find stuff. What are your rates? Because I've got an issue.
Nothing.
Nothing?
I get nothing.
You get nothing. So, no. if you're hired out, you get nothing? There's no fee?
No fee.
Because here's what happened. Like, I'm typically not, I'm not lose it guy. I'm really not. Yeah. I'm pretty good about keeping my stuff. I don't lose things. So I'm not in that category until now. Like Sunday, we had an outdoor practice. It was 80 degrees, right?
Yeah.
It's 80 degrees. I've lost our catcher's equipment.
Oh, no.
I don't even know how that's possible. It's in a bag, big bag. It just goes from
it's not like a batting glove.
It goes from the garage to the car to the field, back to the car, back to the garage. Garage, car, field, field.
Well, that was my thing with the AirPod. So it's like, where could it be?
So you left it at the field.
I guess.
That's what it sounds like.
I guess it's been lost for a good while. I don't know.
But isn't that the thing?
It's the biggest mystery. Like, I tore the garage apart. And yeah, Chase, maybe this has been gone for 4 months. But we've been in the offseason and I haven't even looked. So I don't know.
Isn't that the thing with lost things, though? That's what bugs the find it guy, is there's got to be an explanation. You know, it didn't get up and just walk away,
no.
Right? That's what your mom's line is when you're a kid. Well, it didn't get up and walk away. Mom, where's my hat? I don't know.
No, where'd you see it last?
Where'd you see it last? It didn't get up and walk away. It's wherever you left it. So that's what the AirPod, you saw me. I was obsessing.
Is there
the
any
entire
chance?
Time up until I had to be on the you air. Did. I was like, I've got to find this. It's got to be somewhere. I walked back to the security thing, retraced my steps, looked all the way.
But you were positive.
Where is the other one?
You were positive that it was in your ear when you walked up to the gate.
Yes, because I was listening to the show. I was listening to the broadcast and walking up.
Because we have a suggestion that it's under your car seat, which is a very good place for things.
Because I was listening in stereo.
I've heard a lot of stuff under the car seat.
No question. Nope. That's always, and that's what I say about the remote control at the house. It's always in the cushions.
Yes.
If you can't find it, it's always down in there. Oh, Dad, I've looked in there. I promise you, it's down in there. Well, that's not the case with this thing. So I'm baffled. I'm rattled.
As you can tell,
I'm not over it.
I think it's gone.
Well, I've had to move on. Mm. I got a new pair.
So you've punted.
I punted. I upgraded.
That's actually a good move.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I got the high-tech ones where you can block out the outside noise or have the outside noise come in so you can hear.
They are.
That's a good feature.
It's a great feature. And on airplanes, fantastic.
That's came in handy. My flight to San Jose.
Yeah.
Huge. Mm. Yeah.
Highly recommend.
I highly recommend that they get Forsberg signed, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about all this.
Yeah.
You guys worried a little bit?
Well,
it was 13 days. 13 days. It's not a long time.
I try to be observant.
Didn't seem as optimistic as we've heard. David has had more pep in his step on this subject matter with us.
He's
than
brought
he did
it up
today.
He's brought it up, and today it was, do you guys flip a coin?
It led. He's had so much pep in his step. It's led us to have pep in our step.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, I think something. And then today it was like, oh, okay. Well, I don't feel the same.
No.
After hearing that, no,
no.
I don't. I don't feel.
I don't feel like
you think it was just gonna. Be a nice, easy back and forth
and get it done.
I think they talked last week, as he said. They didn't make the breakthrough. They're going to talk again this week. I just think this is how you do it.
And I believe
if you listen to Elliot every time he comes on with us, and he doesn't say different things on his podcast. I like to listen to what he says about it. He's been talking about this a lot on the 32 Thoughts. The thing he keeps mentioning over and over is Poile. And I forget the agent's name for Philip Forsberg. They've done a lot of things.
We've brought it up.
He's Yossi's agent,
it's,
too, right?
Okay. You keep talking.
But they've done this before.
Bob?
They both know each other's
Carl?
Moves. And so there is going to be a dance. And I think the deadline which is still several days away, is what's going to push it. Like, I don't think in there, I think there's probably a number in each side's mind that they would take that probably haven't gotten there yet.
Sure.
Now, maybe I'm just being overly optimistic, but I still am keeping an even keel on it. I still feel like the end result will be that he signs with Nashville.
Here's what I look at, though, because we use the word the deadline, the trade deadline. The only side that has a deadline right now is the Predators.
And that's not even a hard deadline.
No, but...
But it is something that...
But it's...
Look, they're not trading him.
No, I don't
believe... They will not trade him. And I don't believe they are either. That's why it's not a deadline, really.
But right now, like, the, you know, the Predators have the leverage of, okay, they can trade him and they can get something for him. And while everybody believes they're not going to do that, they still could. Like, an offer could come their way, you know, hours before the deadline that he just can't say no to. That has certainly happened. And so that, but for Forsberg's camp, it's like, hey, we can take this the rest of the way because we're going to win either way.
Yeah, I get it.
Because we're going to either get a really, really good deal from you all, or we're not, and we're going to go to market, and we're going to get a good deal.
And then I come back to you, and I say, look, I know you can play that game. If you want to play that game, we can do it. But as a person, as a client, if your heart is here and you want to be here, don't you want to just get this over with so we can go concentrate on a really tight playoff race?
Absolutely.
We can address the needs of the team. We know where you fit. If this is where you want to be, let's get this done.
You don't think David hasn't done
sure.
that? That all sounds great.
Well, that's
great.
The give and take.
Do you think his agent's like, you know what? That's a really good point.
Just, I thought
let's right. do, I mean,
at,
let's
at
do
some
it.
Point it comes together. Is what now? I
thought
do.
That was going to happen with a first baseman in Atlanta, and apparently it's not. So you know,
I'm still waiting for that contract.
Well. They got to get a
whole other thing.
MLB's got to get their
they
stuff.
They knew the lockout was coming.
Hey, they got bigger bases now. Just so you know,
good for them. I'm glad they got that figured out. I went to the MLB store in New York, and they actually had third base from Game 3 of the World Series. And if I could have afforded it, I would have bought it. But I don't have that kind of money.
Why don't you tell everybody about Screwball?
I can do that because I had that in New York, too.
Fernando Valenzuela, great screwball back in the day. The lefty.
Why did I know that was coming?
That was awesome. Okay, Screwball, yes, peanut butter whiskey. It's my go-to when I'm out with the crew, whether it's on the rocks or as a shot. You can also make peanut butter old-fashions, a PB&J shot, berry liqueur, whatever. You can drink it however you like it. You just got to ask for it by name whenever you go to the bar. Screwball peanut butter whiskey. It's all natural flavored, and not only, like I said, you can enjoy it in all those ways, but you can go to their website, screwballwhiskey.com, for more recipes. It's an original, just like me, made with real whiskey, peanuts, and peanut butter. So when you're out with your friends and you're looking for great tasting whiskey, that drink or shot, order a Screwball peanut butter whiskey and enjoy it responsibly. Copyright 2022 Screwball Spirits, LLC, San Diego, California. Whiskey with natural flavors, 35% alcohol by volume. Back here, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're on the Game Nashville app. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Darren McFarlane. Hanging out at Bridgestone Arena today. Predators and Stars here tonight. A huge game. You guys are stealing Hal from us. Going to have the three-man booth.
Yes.
For tonight on Bally Sports, Brooks Bratton will be alongside Pete Weber on the radio side, and Darren will have coverage starting at 6 o'clock. But this one, Willie, I mean, I don't like using the term biggest game of the year, but, I mean, right now it is. I mean, this is such an important game because these two teams are right there together in the Central Division standings. Dallas and Minnesota tied at 67 points, Nashville with 66. And then you look at second. First, Colorado's, you know, they're doing fine with 87 points, but St. Louis has 71. So I mean, it's tough right now. It's a tight race in the Central.
It is, and I think there you will probably hear a lot of people say this is the biggest game of the year, and it is tonight.
Sure.
But you do have to remember there's 2 months left, or you know, a month and a half. There's still a lot of games. But this is the last time that they meet the Stars. And the Stars have been on such a roll. They've won 14 out of 19, 14-4-1. They've made a huge climb to get back in. And you ask yourself, are they just a hot team right now that's going to cool off? I don't think so. Like, look at Jason Robertson. He's an emerging star. Not a Dallas star, but like a...
Yeah.
And I don't know about superstar, but he's only in his second year, but he has taken... He was great last year. And he's taken a leap again. And now he comes in, he could not be hotter. He's got back-to-back hat tricks. He's just scoring left and right. He's been unstoppable lately. And that is what has sort of tipped the scales for the Stars, is now you've got two lines. For they don't anymore sit there and have to rely only on Sagan and Ben, who are the highest paid guys. Now they can slot into the second line. And now you have Roope Hintz, who's also a young budding star, with the veteran Pavelski and Jason Robertson. That is one hellacious line. And so we know that Dallas plays good defense. Jake Ottinger is a young up-and-coming goalie that's getting all the big starts. Mm-hmm. So that's how they've turned themselves into what they are now. It's a little bit of a – it's not a full transformation from a couple of years ago, but it's a semi-transfer. It's a little bit of like a competitive transition, really, when you look at it. Now, they've got some very – they're up against the cap. The Predators have much more flexibility in the cap to do things. That's one of the things that's hindering the Stars at the trade deadline. They absolutely have zero room to make deals. They have to figure out, are we just going to let it ride and just let these guys go to the end and let's see what we've got with this group? I think at the end of the day, that's what they will do. You heard David Poile. He doesn't think the market right now, there's so many teams that are hamstrung with the cap that they don't have the ability to wheel and deal like they otherwise would.
I see if they make a move at all, it's going to be similar to when they made the run to the Cup final, like P.A. Parenteau. They added him at the deadline, like just a depth piece. That's really all I see them doing. I don't think there's going to be this splashy, you
know, well, I was talking about the Stars. I think the Predators have the maneuverability, if they want, to add different levels depending on what's out there, what they feel. What I think they're not going to do is give up a whole lot.
Sure.
I think they're looking for somebody who is out of the mix, that has a player the Predators could use, and is not asking for a lot. They just would like to move the salary. They just want to get an asset. Maybe it's an expiring contract. I think that is, if I had to guess, what they might be looking for. And if they don't find anybody, I do think that they are willing to ride it out largely with this group. I would be surprised if they didn't add a depth defenseman, if nothing else. But the question is there somebody who could really help you?
Sure.
That doesn't cost you a ton, that would be the right guy. And I don't know if I have a lot of names. You can tell I'm always asking Elliot, who's out there? And then you start telling me, and I say, well, okay.
Whatever happened with DeBrusk in that whole situation?
DeBrusk is a – here's the problem with DeBrusk. First of all, the Bruins are winning.
Yep.
And he's playing pretty well.
Smitty's played well, too.
Yes.
He's played really well.
And DeBrusk is an expiring contract, but he's a restricted free agent. If you want to keep DeBrusk, and the Bruins are not just giving him away. That's what's happened since they were here, and that was the big rumor. He's asked for a trade. They're not giving him away. He's helping their team right now. So it's like, Darren, you always say, like, just because a guy asked for the trade doesn't mean that you have to trade him. So they've said be patient. And in the meantime, the best thing you can do is play well so that you're attractive to people. But here's the deal. He's 25. You have to qualify him at over $4 million a year. So it's expensive to get involved in that. So you're not really looking to give up a whole lot to get him. So I don't know if he'll get moved or not.
It's going to be interesting. 13 days away from the NHL trading deadline. We'll come back. We'll start the third hour with Tim Hasselbeck. Our weekly chat with him next.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.